Let's bring in a good friend of the show and an outstanding writer.
Mm-hmm.
He's had tremendous success at Yahoo Sports, but Jeff Passan, I think, has surpassed that with the book that is out. It's gotten really nice reviews, and the book is called The Arm. Jeff, nice to have you with us.
Hey, Jeff.
Gentlemen, how are you?
We're doing well. Always a pleasure to have you on here, and congratulations on enjoying a little bit of the Kansas City Royals. I know you struggled with that franchise covering for so long, and you got a World Series win.
Yeah, I'll be honest. My family and my friends enjoyed it far more than I did, but it's really fascinating to see what a World Series does to a city in the way that it can invigorate it. And after 2014 and what Madison Bumgarner did to Kansas City, I think that the city at least deserves some a modicum of peace, because that was pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Jeff Passan with us.
People here still talk about Madison Bumgarner like he's a curse word.
It's funny, you know, we do this special segment, the greatest games in Giants franchise history.
Mm-hmm.
We did our second one last weekend, and I did pick the Bumgarner effort in Game 7.
Wow.
Which really ranked his whole World Series performance up there with, you know, Lou Burdette and Gibson and Christy Mathewson and the rest of them. But I'm glad. I'm glad for the city, and I'm glad for everyone to enjoy it as well. But, Jeff, you've got a huge book that is out. It's called The Arm, and the subject matter is pitchers and the billions of dollars that baseball has invested in the pitchers, and you've done a lot of research about it. What led you to this topic, and why get so involved with it?
You know, I just wondered why baseball spent $1.5 billion a year on something it really doesn't understand. And that just didn't make sense to me. Baseball is a sport that is so rooted in efficiency. And we saw that across the bay with the Oakland A's, and that's how Moneyball came to life. You know, how can we play this game better? How can we do it more efficiently? How can we do it smarter? And when it comes to the pitcher, baseball just hasn't evolved at all. I mean, guys have been getting hurt pretty much since the 1880s when they started throwing overhand. And nobody seems to question it. Nobody seems to try and answer why. And I attempted to do that, and I didn't get the full answer as far as how to eradicate Tommy John surgery. But I think there are definitely things that baseball can be doing that it's not. And a lot of it, frankly, starts with youth baseball and the fact that kids throw too much these days, and they're irresponsible coaches and parents who simply don't understand how to handle their kids. And I will say this very proudly, actually. I heard from somebody with the San Francisco Little League yesterday who wants to get a copy of this book for all of the coaches in the league. And that is honestly my goal with this whole thing. I want every single coach and baseball parent to read this so that they can understand the toll that injuries may have on their child going forward, and so we can be more conscientious and responsible about it.
Jeff, are you advocating for pitch counts for Little League?
I think they have pitch counts in the Little League already. This goes beyond Little League, though. This is, you know, this is competitive baseball. This is travel baseball. This is year-round baseball, and that's really the big issue here. Kids are playing too much, and you know, we think that these injuries happen at the major league level and the minor league level. There are two things that I think are very important to establish. Number one, in between 2007 and 2011. 56.8% of Tommy John surgeries were on 15 to 19-year-olds.
Wow.
It's only gotten worse since then, according to the doctors with whom I've spoken about this. So it's not like that is going away anytime soon. On top of that, you know, once you hear 15 to 19-year-olds, you think, oh, my goodness, is it really affecting kids that young? And the answer is no, it's affecting kids who are younger, actually. There was a study done in Japan recently on 9 to 12-year-olds. And it was a small sample, and you know, not terribly indicative of the population at large necessarily. But what it did establish is that 43% of the kids in this study had damage to their ulnar collateral ligament, which shows you can be as young as 9 years old hurting yourself. And so the idea that kids are going out there and throwing 100 pitches in a tournament, throwing on back-to-back days, it's bad, and it has a tangible effect, and we need to stem that as quickly as we can, because the healthier our kids are, the healthier they're going to be when they get older and go into the minor leagues and the big leagues and professional baseball.
Jeff Passan, Yahoo Sports, Patrick Connor, Marty Lurie, Public House. Pitch counts and all that for the youth. I didn't realize they had pitch counts for youngsters, but how about throw it? Rather than pitch counts, what's more important, maybe not allowing them to throw curveballs and off-speed pitches that put so much stress on their arm? You think that would be have a big impact?
No, that's actually a myth, and it's something that, it gets passed on and perpetuated, and it's one of the reasons that I wanted to write this book, because there's so much misinformation out there. Curveballs inherently, according to two different studies on youth arms, do not stress the elbow any more than fastballs do. So a simple, humble fastball is just as stressful, if not more, than the curveball. But here's my problem with curveballs. Why do kids throw curveballs? Kids throw curveballs because people swing and miss at them, and because they get outs. And a big part of this proliferation of competitive youth baseball has been the idea of winning. That winning as a 10-year-old or an 11-year-old actually is tangible and means something. And no offense to these kids going out and winning 10 and 11-year-old tournaments, but it doesn't. You're not fostering anything with them that you could not achieve in another sport or another type of competition. And listen, I am the furthest thing from anti-competitive. I think competition is great for the soul. It is great for the spirit. I think it helps you learn things that you would not learn otherwise. But I think when you're comparing competition to injury, the potential for injury that baseball gives kids in particular makes it a no-brainer. Go find your competitive Jones elsewhere and focus on development in baseball so that when these kids' arms are ready to feel the stress and the strain of throwing a baseball, that they understand pitching and what it entails more than they do now.
Yeah, very interesting. An interesting approach, not looking at the professional side of it and what could happen, but actually how you get there. It makes sense. All right, I'm going to ask you this. Let's say you have a son who's about 12 years old. All right, let's say he's about 6'3", and at 12 years old, he's throwing about 78 miles an hour. How do you treat him? How do you get him to a position where he could be a professional player? What would you do as a father?
6'3" at 12 years old. What kind of steroids are you feeding your kids, Marty?
So he's not playing basketball.
My Lord.
All right, he's, make him a pitcher. He's going to be Randy Johnson. Go ahead.
No, honestly, if I have a kid who shows an aptitude for baseball at a very young age, the first thing I do is tell him you will not be playing baseball year-round. I don't care what coaches say. I don't care what your friends say. I don't care the pressure that is put on you. You will not be doing this year-round, because studies show that if you play baseball competitively more than 8 months out of the year, you are five times likelier to suffer from an arm injury. Now, not playing year-round baseball will not inure you from having arm trouble. It's inevitable that some people are going to have them at some point or another. But if I had a kid like that, my child is 8 years old, and he's not 6'3". He's like 4'6" or 4'7". He has shown, he has shown a faculty to throw a little bit. Like, he's got a good little arm for a kid his age. He's playing up a grade level, and he's starting kid pitch this year. And I am in charge of all the kids in our league. There are no pitch counts in our league. There are no innings limits in our league, at least nothing that I know of. But none of the kids will be throwing more than one inning at a time, and none of the kids will be throwing more than 30 pitches.
Wow.
And if you ask me, are you babying the children? The answer will be absolutely I am, because they have time to develop. And right now I'm trying to focus on things like getting the ball over the plate and learning their bodies and where they are in space so that they can repeat their delivery every time. You don't need to be playing competitive baseball at 8 and 9 and 10 years old. That hamstrings you going forward. I think that actually stunts your learning rather than complements it.
Boy, all right. Very good. Very good. Jeff Passan, the book is terrific.
Strong opinion.
Yeah, Jeff has put a lot of time into it. You talked to Koufax. Not many people get to talk to Koufax. What did he tell you?
It was interesting to hear his perspective. And, you know, so many people wax on romantically about 300-inning pitcher and why guys used to be able to do what they did back then. And Sandy Koufax told me about how the Dodgers used to bring 600 people to camp every spring. I was like, 600? Why do you need 600 players in camp? And he said, essentially, because it was Darwinism. The arms that survived made it, and the arms that did not make it. And when you have that type of a situation where you are essentially giving up players in order to develop others, I think that that is, you know, I think that is a morally wrong thing to do. And I think baseball, in fact, has actually evolved in the right direction going away from 300-inning pitchers. If we wanted, there is no question in my mind that we could make 300-inning pitchers today. That the arm has not changed fundamentally in any way to prevent that. But the idea that we're going to do that, we're going to give up other players' careers in order to reach this round arbitrary number, does that make any sense to you? Because it certainly doesn't to me.
Mm. Let me ask you about Japan. Do they have the same problems in Japan? I know you've done research over there as well.
Yeah, they definitely have problems over there, and the problems might even be worse. The Japanese, I'll tell you, the high levels in particular, they practice 360 days a year, and that is not an exaggeration. They are off between December 29th and January 2nd, the team that I saw. And this was the team that had a kid named Tomohiro Anraku, who threw 772 pitches over 9 days in the National High School Baseball Tournament. He started off at 97 miles per hour. By the end of the tournament, he was throwing in the low 80s. He has not gotten back to the upper 90s. He sort of floats around in the low 90s these days. And shocker of shockers, has a partially torn ulnar collateral ligament, and at some point probably will need Tommy John surgery. So, it's kids like him and the kids who were in a clinic that I visited where a doctor saw 20 patients, 9 to 17-year-old kids, I believe, over a four-hour period. 19 of them had arm injuries.
Crazy.
And that is, I understand when you're going to the doctor, you probably have an injury, but the number of kids in there who were hurt and who had torn UCLs and who had broken bones in their arm from throwing too much at 9 and 10 and 11 years old, it was frightening, and it was sad, really.
It's interesting. I'm just going to jump in for a second. Your perspective is from the little kids, and all we think about are, you know, the guys who get abused 3 days in a row, you know, or throwing too many sliders and all that.
See, here's the important part, Marty. The little kids turn into big kids. And when the little kids have arm injuries, the greatest predictor of a future arm injury is a past arm injury.
Sure.
So Major League Baseball right now is being fed these kids who are having surgery at 15 and 16 and 17, well, the new ulnar collateral ligaments, when you have Tommy John surgery, generally last somewhere between 7 and 10 years before you need a second Tommy John. And so if these kids are needing second Tommy Johns at 25 and 26, the chances of them coming back a second time are far less than the first time. And so this is a fundamental problem that Major League Baseball is facing going forward when so much of the population it expects to be excelling might actually have shorter lifespans and career or shorter career spans than anticipated.
Go ahead, Marty.
The book is The Arm, Jeff Passan, Passan. It's outstanding. Inside the billion-dollar mystery of the most valuable commodity in sports. I have one last thought for you. We have ACL injuries and all sorts of other injuries to parts of the body. Can that be related to too many things that a kid would do as well?
ACL injuries?
Yeah, ACL, UCL, whatever you got.
Concussions.
I got to be honest, Marty. I have not studied the knee enough to know. I've spent 4 years on the arm. You can't expect me to get all the joints involved here now, man.
All right.
Well, we're fond of joints out here in San Francisco, Jeff. My final question for you, I guess, would be Strasburg. He gets yanked going down the stretch by Rizzo in Washington a couple of years ago. And I'll be honest with you, and for argument's sake, I thought it was kind of a weak move. What I'm gathering from our discussion here today is that was probably the right move in your opinion?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
I think that
adults and major leaguers in particular are different than kids. I think we need to be as conservative as possible with kids. I think that we've gotten too conservative, frankly, with adults. I think that Madison Bumgarner could throw 125 pitches every single outing and have absolutely no problems at all. And I think there are a few guys like that, you know, him, Kershaw, David Price, the guys who have proven themselves elite over time and have stayed healthy. The Strasburg thing is a little different. And the problem with Strasburg is just how poorly it was played. You know, rest him during the season, put him in extended spring training before the start of the season, but don't yank him during the midst of a good season. That to me was the issue, the way that the innings themselves were handled. And let's be honest, innings are a silly way to measure things. Pitches are the right way to measure things. And I think Steven Strasburg could have gone out there, pitched the whole season, stayed healthy, and been fine long term. But if he wasn't, then they were forever going to be blamed for that. And you know the way that baseball goes. It is people are in a culture of fear. They're scared of being wrong. And when they are, they get crushed for it.
Yeah, and they don't forget either. Well, it's a fascinating discussion. It's a thrill to have you on. I know we enjoy talking ball with you many, many times.
Yeah.
I think you have a good one and a winner in the arm. So, Jeff, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Jeff.
Pleasure's always mine, guys. Have a good day.
Very good. No, that's very good. Hey, good discussion.
The guy can write baseball, man, and obviously he can talk about it very well, too. And one of his columns from a couple of days ago was kind of dispelling the myth. Or slightly dispelling the myth that Barry Bonds stepped up in a Marlins intra-squad home run contest. I encourage you to go to Jeff Passan's work at Yahoo and read the story. It's pretty good. Pretty good.